Remember when you were in high school or in college and you'd be going to the most boring, terrible class in the world, and then at some point you would raise up your hand and say, "Teacher, when are we going to need this in real life?" Well, that's the whole purpose of our radio show, is to figure out what we really need to know in real life. And our guest, Brad Jolie, believe it or not, has the answer to that question. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I just remember being in social studies and in math classes and biology classes and raising my hand and asking the teacher, when are we going to need this in real life? But I found out that probably the most important thing I need is math. I was a CPA. People think I'm brilliant at math because I do a lot of numbers, but really my computer does all that kind of work. I just do the legal part of it, I guess. But where math really comes in handy in my life is golfing. Frankly, sometimes I need a doctorate in math to keep my score. It gets so out of hand. And if you ever plot my golfing on a map, like on my Garmin watch, it'll show me after I'm done golfing all the different places I hit the ball. You know, you don't just need algebra to compute my score, but you need geometry to figure out where in the heck my ball went. Well, I had a really interesting conversation with our guest today, Brad Jolie. I was speaking up in the Denver area, and I believe on the way to the airport, he gave me a Colorado coffee mug. By the way, go Colorado Buffaloes, man. They did great last weekend. When we recorded the show, they're doing great in football. And we have Brad Jolie with us as a guest. He's a Catholic convert. He's a happy, the happy fact that is largely due to the remarkable patience of His Holiness of his wife of 37 years. She's suffering for Jesus. He has four wonderful adult children. And he's a math teacher. He loves math, computer, and he's a geek. Basically, and I was thinking about this yesterday, how, man, we need geeks. You know what the thing about geeks is, that they run with their passion, with their desire. They run with it. So like when I went to college, I learned to be a CPA, and I got myself a good business and a good job. And I do really, frankly, I enjoy it. But someone who loves math and physics and quantum physics and quarks, they're all kind of quirky. And the reason why is because they're running with something that has just grabbed their attention. And in fact, they're almost like artists. And so we have with us today Brad Jolie, and we're going to talk about math and why you what you really need to know in your real life. Actually, we want to talk about math because it's the grandeur of God. It's part of His intelligent design. So Brad Jolie, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Well, hey, thanks, Bear. I appreciate that. And, you mentioned golf earlier. I don't mean to brag, but I almost broke 80 once.
You did?
I would have, in fact, if it had not been for that windmill in front of the clown's mouth.
That's difficult. That always gets me, too. I mean, like, I'll be having a great game, get to the last hole, and then you just lose it. You know, it takes you 20 strokes to get through that. I will say, though.
No, I've actually never golfed, but my first job as a kid was caddying.
No kidding.
And, I was actually able to use math in that, right, when you're trying to get yardages for your golfers. I remember one time I actually was caddying in a professional tournament. And it was the Buick Open, and my golfer asked me how far it was to the hole, and I did a little math, a little bit of trig, and I gave him a yardage, and he said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure." And he put it 18 inches from the cup and tapped in for an eagle.
So all right. All right.
That was my one and only great golf story.
Well, I used a lot of math. When I was young, I was working for Deloitte Touche down there in El Paso, and we were doing a huge ranch, one of the biggest cattle ranches in all of Mexico. And we had at some point they put us rookies in what they called the bullpen, and we had to count cows. They took aerial photographs, and we'd put a pinhole in each cow's head. And when I asked the manager in charge, how do we count these cows? I mean, because we take samples by the square footage, or what do we do? And he goes, oh, no, that's easy. You count their legs and you divide by four. So that's basically the only CPA joke probably that there is, but that's the CPA joke.
I'll be glad you weren't counting centipedes.
So, you know, the thing is when you get into geometry and things like that, you do think a little bit about Plato's forms, you know, and the beauty of that world that's up in the sky. You know, it's so much of math is not like right down here on Earth. It's something that's more in our minds than really, you know, in concrete form. But before we get started on the whole beautiful, joyful, exciting, thrilling realm of math, you're a dangerous man. What makes you dangerous is that you're a convert. So how did that happen?
Well, let's see. When I was a kid, we'd go to church sometimes, but it wasn't always regular, and I was kind of iffy on the whole thing. My parents tried, but then I had some good examples, but I was kind of iffy on it. And I was always into math and science. And as you know, if you've got science, you know, who needs God, right? You know, science explains
so
everything.
So insane, now, isn't course, it? Isn't that insane?
Yeah, I no longer believe that, but I thought that, you know, in science you can prove things, right? And you can do experiments. And when I started college, I went to the University of Michigan, and I thought I wanted to major in particle physics. And boy, that was interesting. That's an interesting field. And when I was a kid at Michigan, one of the big questions was around proton decay. Do protons decay or not?
I've always wondered about that.
Well,
I used to always read on the back of cereal boxes when I was a kid at breakfast trying to find the answer there. Just couldn't find it. I always wondered about that. Okay, you guys, get ready. This is going to be a thrilling ride today.
Yeah, and so I thought, you know, that seemed like an interesting question at the time, and it is, right? But
no more thrilling a question than that.
It was a big area of research, and I thought that might be something I was interested in doing. And the more I got into the physics and the math, the more I was convinced that there's really no need for God. You know, you can find everything through science, or so I thought. And I remember, in fact, in one of my physics books, at the end, they quoted something from this guy named Aquinas. And who the heck is this guy anyhow? He's not even a physicist. What could he possibly know, right? And
those guys were smart, aren't they?
And they were kind of making fun of it, though, because the assertions Aquinas was making, weren't the kinds of things you could put under a microscope and test, right, and experiment with. And so Aquinas was nothing but kind of a foil for mockery. And the kind of knowledge that he claimed to have was just silly and kind of crazy. So I, in college, I was kind of...
Well, they picked on the wrong kid on the block, dude.
Well, no, they picked on the right kid on the block because I totally bought it. I thought, this is silly. There's nothing here. I took some time off halfway through my junior year. Took a couple of years off, started my own business. That's when I started dating my the woman who would become my wife was when I was about 21 years old. And she's a cradle Catholic, thanks be to God, and comes from a wonderful Catholic family. And when I looked at my transcript, I said, you know, I've had as much math as I have physics. And frankly, I'm enjoying the math a lot more. The physics is nothing more than a big book of story problems on which to do math. And so if I was honest with myself, I was actually enjoying the math more than the physics.
Well, obviously, so of course, the math is so much more fun.
Well, I thought so. And we got engaged, and... she made me promise to raise the kids Catholic. And I wasn't quite sure all what all that entailed, but I thought, okay, yeah, that I can do that. She seems to be important to her. She's wonderful. Her family's wonderful. And so, yeah, I can promise to do that. And I didn't really understand all that entailed, but I thought, yeah, I can commit to that. And so I always took that very seriously. I went to mass with Kelly every week, every Sunday. And when we had kids, I remember taking our oldest one, and Kelly and I went to the local school and said, "So this child's already reading going into kindergarten. What are you going to do?" And they said, "Well, nothing. Our goal is to get them ready to start reading as they enter into first grade." And I thought, "Well, that doesn't seem good. I mean, that they're. I mean, I understand why they want to make sure everybody's able to do that, but for kids that are already reading, they're not doing anything." So we went to the local Catholic school and
Well,
met with the principal.
let's take a break right there. That's
Yeah.
this will be a good break, a good pause, because yeah, I remember my early days. I got to go to a Catholic, go to Catholic school. I had a crush on my first grade teacher, Sister Maria Madonna, actually. We'll be right back with our guest, math prodigy Brad Jolie, and the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Now you can journey with other men on the adventure of a lifetime, growing in manly virtue through Bear's Man Cave community and our 3-year School of Manliness. Join at deepadventure.com. Better yet, you can lead your own sons through the same compelling video, audio, and written content. Can you imagine how much deeper your relationship with your dad could have been, and how much more you could have learned and pitfalls you might have avoided if your dad had a tool like this to help to draw you both into a deeper, life-changing discussion. Now you have a trigger that you can pull that will take you into gritty discussions with other men and with your sons at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. You can gain traction in the virtues in my book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue, and you can be inspired by my personal testimony of heartache and triumph with my book, A Surfing Guide to the Soul, both newly published by Sophia and available at our web store, deepadventure.com, and also on amazon.com.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Dudes and dudettes, mama bears and men, I got to let you know the new book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, is out. And you can get it through your local bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Catholic bookstores, Amazon.com, the deepadventure.com website, and of course, Sophia, our publisher. It's a great book for women to read. I think especially young women should read this book, so they it crystallizes for them in their thoughts what kind of a man they really want to find and be with. But it's a great book for men to read, and for men to read with their sons, or even for a single mom to read with their sons. I think it's meant to inspire all of us to really understand the nature of man. Remember, the word for man in the Latin is vir, V-I-R, which is the root word for virtue. And so if you want to be manly, if you want to know the rules for manliness, the book focuses on how practical application, like a father to a son or a brother to a brother, what it means to really be a man. So go to our website, deepadventure.com, or go to wherever you want and buy the book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? If you go to our site, you can let us know who you want to gift it to also. So our guest today is Brad Joly. He's a math aficionado, and he actually loves math, everyone. And I just think anybody that really loves math is obviously the first person we want to have on our show. I know it sounds really boring, but actually, when you get with someone like Brad, you find out really the wonder of God's design. And so we're going to dig into that. But you were saying, so you were going to be taking your child to a public school, and it was almost like they were going to, you know, you got to put the brakes on their education. We got to dumb them all down, and everyone's got to be, you know. And so what happened?
So we went to the local Catholic school and met with the principal there. Entirely different conversation. He talked about the uniqueness of each child. He used words that we had never heard before, like human flourishing, for example. The importance of all that, the importance of developing the child spiritually as well as academically, right? And of course, it was academically excellent as well. But that wasn't the main focus. It was a focus, to be sure, but the main focus was on serving the ultimate good of the child, right? And it was very attractive. And all four of our kids went through Catholic school, K-12, and we were just delighted by that experience. And that was a big part of my own conversion. I came into the church at age 50, and I had a lot of good friends along the way who kind of helped me along and helped pray for me. And of course, my wife and her family were praying for me frequently. But what really helped, I always tell people I'm a product of Catholic schools, never having gone to one. And what I mean by that is I saw what happened in Catholic schools, right? And that beautiful example of the teachers and the principals and the other parents. And gosh, I was blown away by it. And so I've been volunteering in the Catholic schools since the mid-90s, doing math education, doing teacher training at the archdiocesan level, volunteering in the local schools, and just really benefiting from it. I always learn more when I talk to kids than they learn from me.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. But that's not my profession. So my profession is in the engineering business,
I want to go back to this. So before, yeah, maybe, sure. Maybe that's where you're going. So what was the actual moment of conversion? Is that where you're going with this?
Well,
when did you make that? When did you cross that line?
So there was, I kept getting closer and closer and closer, right? As we'd call it in math, an asymptote, getting closer and closer and closer to it. But I knew I never wanted to be a cafeteria Catholic. Mm. It either all hangs together or it doesn't. Mm. And you can't be 96.3% right, and then the other 3% you can just throw away.
Well, that's the essence of a lie. It's truth. Well, yeah, is right. Truth mingled with a little falsehood. So you're
that's
absolutely right.
Right.
You can't be a cafeteria Catholic.
And I knew I didn't want to be that. And so even though I was probably 98% there 20 years earlier, I didn't want to be 98%, right? And so I had to work through a lot of stuff. And probably the final push was a friend of mine had a wonderful and beautiful presentation on the Shroud of Turin.
Mm.
And boy, that appealed to the science guy.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of stuff in there that is way beyond what science can talk about.
We're gonna have a guest on soon that we're gonna really go into deep on that. But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing, right? And so that was probably the final thing where I said, okay, this is...
Had you read the Catechism yet?
I hadn't read the whole thing, but I'd read many parts of it, and I'd been in a book club with a group of guys that met faithfully every once a month for many
oh, that is so
years.
Cool.
And that was a big part of it, right? Having the other men in your life who are really good, solid, manly examples of, as you would say, virtue, right? As you just talked about. There were a lot of virtuous guys that helped me along the way as well.
That's the beauty of, I think, the Catholic faith is that Yes, I accept all of the teaching of the church, but I will have to say I came there by reading the catechism is so much a mixture of theology and philosophy that everything makes sense. It all fits together. You know, you may have to read it through a second or third time, but when you read all the way through the catechism, you're just in awe, you know, if that's true, then this must be true. You know, the syllogism there. Well, did you ever get back on the Aquinas bus, or don't you love it when Augustine talks about time? I mean, did you ever get back to full circle back to Aquinas? That's my question.
So let's go to I've read some of Aquinas, and I enjoy it. But you mentioned Augustine. So Augustine is, in fact, my confirmation saint, right? You know, late have I loved you, right? And his stuff on time, he was 1,500
it's
years ahead.
Yeah.
He was 1,500 years ahead of Nobel Prize-winning physicists in the early 20th century.
Absolutely.
Who weren't clear on the fact that space and time had a beginning, right? And he was very clear on that. And in fact, he makes an interesting little joke. He says people will often ask, you know, well, what was God doing before he created the universe? And the answer was he was doing nothing because he didn't have the time. and it's quite true. I mean, literally, now, of course, God in eternity
God's outside of
time,
right? God's outside of time, yeah.
But the idea of before creation doesn't really make sense. I prefer to think of it as from the state in which he created. But it's not necessarily a before, because you really can't have a before until you have time. And of course, God being outside of time, don't have that. So
I love when he talks about, well, how do you define now? And it took pages and pages. It basically, by the time even while you're saying the word now, that now has already passed, or where did it go? You know, but the essence of that type of conversation that he was having is this sort of ethereal element of math. You know, it's up in, you know, like talk. We got a couple minutes. I know you're a math guy more than a physics guy, but when you think about Plato's forms and you think about geometry and trigonometry and algebra, it's all a bunch of formulas up there in the sky, really.
Oh, absolutely. So I always like to shock kids and their teachers sometimes when I say, you know, triangles don't exist in the physical world. And they're like, well, what do you mean they don't exist? Look, here, I draw one, right? And they draw one and I go, well, is that really a triangle? I said, if we zoomed in on it, would the lines have any width to them? Well, yeah, they would have width. Well, does an actual triangle have any width, or is it just line segments that have no width? Oh, yeah, I guess not, right? And so, if triangles don't exist in the physical world, and neither do circles or squares or anything else, and yet we can reason about them, where do they exist, right? They exist in this non-physical realm outside of space and time. Another great question I like to ask is, when did the Pythagorean theorem become true? Did it become true on the date that Pythagoras first proved it? Did it become true when the Babylonians were using examples of it without a proof? Or has it always been true? And if so, if it's always been true, then it must have existed. Always. Well, if something always exists, was it true on the 5 seconds after the Big Bang? Yes, it was, of course, right? And so that's where you start getting into the...
Or was it true 5 seconds before?
Well, of course, well, again, there is no such thing as 5 seconds
because
before
right,
the
because
Big
it's
Bang,
a,
right?
Yeah, yeah, it's in the mind of God.
Yeah, right.
Well, we got to take a break, Brad. Okay, so now we're really getting into the subject. So we're talking with math prodigy Brad Jolly? I want to say Jolly.
Jolly. Like Santa.
You got to grow that white beard a little bit more. Talking with Brad, we're going to go into really the beauty and the glory of God as revealed in math. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
This is Daniel the Boone Markham with another episode of Country Up. Wits. Rudyard Kipling wrote, "If you can keep your wits about you while all others are losing theirs and blaming you, the world will be yours and everything in it. What's more, you'll be a man, my son." Kind of the opposite of being at one's wit's end, which causes being scared out of one's wits. Then there's living by your wits, or not. As a lad, too often I didn't use my wits, like blindly following a friend intent on burglarizing a tavern. But all in all, life somehow left me with the kind of wits I was able to keep about myself when danger confronted. Like the time I was fighting my way across a massive windswept glacier lake in the Kitlope Wilderness, with the teenage heiress of the Levi Strauss family in the back of my canoe. Hadn't been in a canoe for years. I vigorously paddled on like I was a veteran of canoeing in such storms. Or when a monster size of a man, a wife abuser from across our street, chased his bloodied wife into our home with knife in hand. Keep in mind, I'm 5'8", in my cowboy boots at 190 pounds. Had to use my wits given my comparatively limited brawn. Jesus is our leader in this business of wits. With clear-headedness, he faced down religious mobsters and trudged through blood, sweat, and tears, completing his main task at hand. That's why the writer of Hebrews exhorted us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In doing so, you'll keep your wits about you in times of trouble. This is Daniel the Boone Markham at countryup.org on a journey a few miles this side of heaven.
We invite our mama bears to join with us at deepadventure.com. You'll have access to all of the Long Ride Home TV shows even before they air on EWTN. Plus, 3 years of the shareable Ocean Sunrise Daily Catechism videos. Plus, at deepadventure.com, a 20% discount at our online store with all of our great t-shirts and clothes and books and rosaries and medals and all kinds of accessories. You'll also get an autographed copy of Bear's latest book, and for a limited time, a Catholic biker stuffed teddy bear. All at deepadventure.com. Come on, Mama Bears, let's hear you roar. Did you know that each Saturday morning you can receive the shareable YouTube video version of the Bear Woznick Adventure in our inspiring weekly newsletter, even before it airs on the radio or hits the podcast apps? Never miss another episode. You can even binge watch Bear's inspiring guests. Think about the impact you can have sharing these videos with your friends. Go to deepadventure.com and click the subscribe button.
Be the kind of man that when he gets out of bed in the morning, the devil says, "Oh no, he's up." Go to deepadventure.com and invite Bear to speak.
Aloha and welcome to the Bear Woznick Adventure. We want to invite the Mama Bears to come to deepadventure.com and become a member of the Mama Bears. You get access to a one-year curriculum on the virtues. You get access to all of the Long Ride Home series, which is airing now, the fourth season, all filmed in Hawaii on EWTN, our motorcycle TV series. And the access to all of my whole 2.5 years of daily 15-minute teachings right out of the catechism. We go line by line through the catechism. And men, if you join Bear's Man Cave, you also have access to those same things. Plus, you have access to the non-Facebook community, the Man Cave, where you can participate with other men, and challenge each other, encourage each other. And we have a 3-year curriculum called the School of Manliness, which we go through one chapter at a time, 1 month at a time of that, as men together. But you can lead your sons through that as well. Your confirmation age sons can have their own login for the School of Manliness. They can't be part of the Man Cave. That's just for adult men. But check out our website, deepadventure.com. Become a Mama Bear. Become a member of the Man Cave. And also help support our ministry. You know, our ministry is 100% funded by you. So if you love our ministry, please support us. We appreciate it. Our guest today is Brad Jolie. We're talking about really the wonder of math, and you know, you talked about it, how in the Catholic school, when you brought your oldest child to start school there, the priest talked about human flourishing, And then you mentioned to me raising the angle of elevation to the ultimate goal, which is eternity with God. What do you mean by human flourishing and how math brings you there?
So our kids got wonderful educations in Catholic school. We were very, very happy about that. But when I talk to kids whether it's Catholic or public school, I say, so why do we do math anyhow? And I get a bunch of good answers. Well, I want to be an engineer. I want to be a doctor. I want to be an accountant. I want to run a business. I want to be an architect, right? All of these things are good, but they're all very horizontal, meaning that if you just stand up and spin in a circle and look around and say, what do people do all day? And these are the answers you come up with. And those are all good, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that engineering and architecture and medicine aren't good things. They're wonderful
you
things.
You left out accounting. So what you're saying is it's not. Okay, I get it. I get it.
I have two daughters who are accountants. So
Lord have mercy on them.
I shouldn't leave that one out. And those are all good, right? Those are all good things. But what we need to do is get kids to start looking up a little more and say, is that the end of reality? Is the end just to build more bridges and create more profit and loss statements and design more computers and faster computers and cure more diseases? And again, those are good things, but that's not our end, right? Our end is unity with God. And so maybe we ought to be lifting our eyes a little bit and seeing what God is telling us through math. And so if you can think of like looking straight horizontally, let's call that 0 degrees, and now looking straight up, right? Metaphorically, of course, 90 degrees, that, you know, looking at ignoring the world completely and looking almost, you know, directly to God. You know, there's a few mystics, right, who are at that kind of angle of elevation, and cloistered nuns who are, you know, very, very close to that kind of thing. But I think for most people, the answer is somewhere in between. And what I'm trying to do is get people to think above zero, right? Can we at least start looking at what God has revealed to us through math and the beauty that you see there? There are so many beautiful things in math, and if you just focus on the practical applications, you miss a lot of that. And I often talk to engineer friends at work, right? And some of them get it. Some of them really appreciate the beautiful parts of it, and we have these great conversations. Others are like, yeah, but what is it good for? And these are the kinds of people who would walk into the Sistine Chapel and say, you know, if Michelangelo had used a roller, he could have gotten that ceiling done in a lot less time.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's true. If all you're trying to do is cover a ceiling with paint, hiring a great artist to work on it for years is a terrible
okay. So wait, I wanted to say something.
Yeah.
Speaking of Michelangelo and the beautiful painting where God is reaching out to touch Adam.
Yep.
There's something they say that is there in that painting called the Fibonacci equation. You know that? Do you know what I'm saying? Have you heard that?
Yeah, I have.
Can you please explain it to people like me what that is?
Yeah, I can explain that. Sure. And so there's a very interesting question that was asked, I would think, around the year 1200, and the question is this. If you have a male and female pair of rabbits in January, okay, they're born in January, they take a month to mature, and then in March, they have a male-female pair every month, okay, after that. And then those babies take a month to mature, and then they start having a male-female pair every month. And so on and so on and so on. The question is, how many do you have at the end of a year? And the person who solved that was a guy named Fibonacci. And he figured the solution to this. And what's very, very interesting is that not that has the rabbits, I mean, who cares, right? It's kind of a silly little problem. But here's the sequence that you end up using. So 1, 1, 2 is how it starts. And then 1 and 2 is 3. 2 and 3 is 5, 3 and 5 is 8, 5 and 8 is 13, and so forth. And what ends up happening is that the further you go out, the more the ratio becomes 1.6 roughly, okay? Which is interesting. It turns out to be 1.618033988749895, et cetera.
Hey, that's my phone number. You shouldn't be giving out my phone number.
That's right. I think I got your social security number in there too, if I'm not mistaken. But it ends up being this number, and it's 1.6180. Who cares? You know, that's kind of a weird number. Well, it turns out that number has some beautiful properties. Number one, it's very visually beautiful. So if you make a rectangle and you make the side lengths in that proportion, people are actually drawn to that. They've done scientific studies where people will say, they'll say, which of these rectangles is the most beautiful rectangles? And it turns out that it's the one where the ratio is about 1 to 1.6, which is very interesting from a physiological perspective,
right?
That's the one that people like, right?
Right? Just the way our
and
brains
so
are wired.
So if you look in art, a lot of great art, they tend to use this ratio over and over and over again. Sometimes it's unintentionally, just because they think it looks nice, and it turns out that what looks nice happens to be in that ratio. And sometimes it's very intentional. Whether it was done in the painting of God and Adam, I don't know.
Well, it looks a lot like, they say some seashells are consistent.
Oh, yeah,
with,
yeah.
And almost looks like where God is like almost one of those seashells.
Yeah,
but also like the frame of the human mind. Yeah,
absolutely. There's a lot of spirals in nature that use this sequence. Pine cones and pineapples and a lot of flowers use these kinds of numbers, and it's very interesting. They call it the golden ratio, and there's two things about it that I find fascinating. Number one is the fact that it is visually appealing, right? And people like that. That seems to be kind of a built-in thing. But what else is appealing about it is no matter what two numbers you start with, you will always get to that ratio. So forget about starting with 1 and 1. Suppose we start with -7 and +500. Very quickly, you'll get right to that 1.6180 ratio, no matter what you start with.
And what does that point to the beauty of God? I mean, the wonder
of
the Lord.
Well, I think what it does is it does a couple of things. Number one, I think it's kind of a little, it's a reflection of order in the universe, right? Math is a reflection of the order. Well, where did that order come from, right? Where did that order come from? And number two, I think it's a reflection of how man is made in God's image. You know, when I was a kid, I thought, oh, what that means is that God must have two eyes, a nose, a mouth, two ears, right? And a long beard. And that's what it means. No, that's not what it means at all. God has no physical body, certainly. And, of course, God the Son did. But when we talk about man being made in God's image, we're talking about the uniqueness of man relative to other creatures. So for example, there's no two dolphins out here doing a podcast about the Fibonacci sequence and the golden ratio today, right? It's not something that that dogs are doing or squirrels.
It's
or
the human soul,
or,
it's not the brain, it's the mind. It's the soul, the mind of the soul. We're talking with Brad Jolly. He's our resident math expert here on our show. And we're going to get talk more about intelligent design and God's grandeur. We'll come right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
People love our EWTN TV show, Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak. Thanks to you, the show has won 4 different Tally Awards. And now, instead of waiting each week for the next episode to air, you can actually binge watch our show and even share it with your friends when you go to deepadventure.com and join the Mama Bears or the Man Cave. Along with all the other benefits, you get total access to all the seasons of our aired episodes, plus instant access to episodes that won't even air for several months. Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak, a great way to communicate the gospel in a gritty enough way that even tough men will stop and watch at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide.
as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to NotreDameFCU.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible.
When you go to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel, you get access to all of our free playlists, including hundreds of episodes of the Bear Wozniak Adventure, plus the three-year journey through the whole catechism in our Ocean Sunrise Catechism series. And you even get short clips and live streaming of Bear and Cindy's Adventures in Paradise videos. Go to YouTube and subscribe to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure channel.
Are you still listening? I thought we warned you to change to an easy listening station. Well, you asked for it. Here is more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I want to remind you again, my book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, is out, and would love for you to buy a book for your friends. I think every woman will love this book. It's practical advice, man to man, a father to son. But also, I think women need to read this book too, because it really, especially younger women, need to read this book. They understand the nature more of, like, you know, I think one of the great curiosities of a woman is trying to figure out a man. And this kind of unpeels it a little bit and lets you see what it's all about. For example, some of the titles are "A Man Needs to Be Dangerous." Another title, one of the chapter titles, is "A Man Needs to Have a Creed and then a Code He Can Live By." "A Man Needs to Ride for the Brand." "How a Man Treats a Woman Defines Him." And different titles like that. Don't just pass through life. Have a purpose. I think this is a great book, a great read for everyone. Women, get this into your men's hands and be sure to read it yourself. 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Available everywhere books are sold and on our website, deepadventure.com. We really based this whole book on the life of Brad Joly, our current guest. He's a manly man from Colorado, and there's nothing more manly than a mathematician. And so we're having a great conversation. Talk to me more about just the wonder of the intelligent design of math, how it brings us. You were talking about the nature of a, you know, an animal has a soul, according to Aquinas and Augustine. Soul, even a plant, they say, has a soul. It's kind of the essence of its life. That's the philosophical way of looking at it. But man has a spiritual, rational soul. That's why we're made in God's image. We're not, you know, my daughter once said, well, my cat's aware of itself. I could see it looking at itself in the mirror. It knows it's sentient. Well, yeah, but it's not aware that it's aware. Right. You know, there's something in man that rises. Cats don't do math problems. Talk to us about the nature of man and how math draws us towards.
Yeah, so cats and rats, for example, will solve problems, right? Rats can go through mazes to find cheese, right? And they're trying to solve
problems. Even some fungus can do that. You know, have exactly. You seen that? They know that there's a certain fungus or something.
But what makes man unique, among many other things, is we consider and contemplate things that have no practical purpose, right? They're just beautiful in their own right. And if I've got about 3 minutes, I can give you an example.
Yeah, I want you to take this whole next 7 minutes and just roll.
Okay, all right. So there's a brilliant mathematician named David Hilbert, and he asked you to consider a hotel. And the hotel has a room number with every possible positive number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up, every positive integer. You know, there's a room 7,000,000,006 up there somewhere. And no matter how big the numbers are, it's an infinite hotel.
There's a bigger one, yeah.
Yep, it's an infinite hotel. And there's a guest in every single room. There's a guest. Guest one is in room one. Guest two is room two. Guest three is in room three, and so forth. And so the sign out front's going to say no vacancy, right? Because every room is full. Then the Pope shows up, and you can't kick anybody out, you can't double bunk any, and you can't build any more rooms, and all the rooms are full. Can you accommodate the Pope? And Hilbert wasn't talking about the Pope, he just talked about some famous person, but we're on a Catholic show, so I can use the word Pope, I think. And so, how do you accommodate the Pope? Can you accommodate the Pope, given that every room is full? Well, yeah, Hilbert's answer is yes, you can. All you do is you move the person from room one to two, from two to three, the person in three goes to four, the person in four goes to five, and so forth. And now room one is available.
If only they knew that when they were looking for a place for Mary and Joseph to stay that night.
Exactly. I'm not sure that they had an infinite hotel in Bethlehem, but yeah, that would have been good. And so then the question is, well, the Pope travels with quite an entourage, as you might imagine, you know, security and other priests and so forth. Not a problem. You just move the person in room one to room 50, right? And then two goes to 51 and so forth. And now you've got 50 rooms open or whatever for the Pope and his entourage. But then the question is, well, what if everybody loves this hotel so much that they all call a friend? What do you do then? Because you can't move somebody from room one to infinity plus one. That makes no sense. Well, the answer is you take the person in one and move them to two. Person in two goes to four, three goes to six, four goes to eight. So I'm just doubling, right? Everybody just doubles. So I'm moving everybody into the even numbers, right? One goes to two, two goes to four, three goes to six, four goes to eight, five goes to 10. Guess what? Now all my odd numbers are freed up.
And there's an infinite amount of odd numbers too.
Yeah, and there's an infinite, right? So I can now, everybody can have a friend staying right next door to them. What if everybody calls 100 friends?
Have that many friends. I don't really have any. I don't really have any, but.
So what if everybody calls 100 friends? No problem. You move the person from room 1 to 101, 2 to 202, 3 to 303, and so forth. And you can keep doing this all day long regardless. And a couple of things. Number one, that's kind of cool. It's just beautiful to think about.
Tough to get room service, though. Tough to get that many.
Number two, it has absolutely zero practical application on Earth. There are no infinite hotels, right? It's not like the people from Marriott or Hilton are calling me and asking me to explain this to them, because there are no infinite hotels, right? So it's just beautiful and interesting, and it's cool to the human being to contemplate. But what I like to do when I tell this to kids, I say, this is kind of an analogy that you can use for God's mercy. So God has given us all a certain amount of mercy in our life, right? And he's done this not just for you and for me, but for every sinner who's ever lived, right? Does that mean that if I sin tomorrow, God's going to go, you know what, I've run out. Brad, you're just out of luck. I've got no mercy left for you. I've run out. No. Even though God's mercy has been used for every single person, there's an infinite amount more that can be added to it, right? Even though he's already given us an infinite amount of grace and mercy, and godly love and so forth, there's still an infinite amount more to give, right? And it's just like these hotel rooms. At the beginning of our little thought experiment, the sign said no vacancy, right? Everything was full. And yet we had room for the Pope, we had room for the Pope's entourage, we had room for 100 friends of everybody in the hotel. And so this is kind of an analogy. It doesn't, you know, totally exhaust the problem of God's infinite mercy. I'm not claiming that. But it's kind of an analogy that you can use to start thinking about it and going, you know, wow.
Infinity, well, you know, it's an interesting amazing thing, because back in, and the Catholic Church doesn't call it abundant grace. They call that superabundant grace.
Yes.
But when you think about it, it used to be back in the day, way back in the back in the day, people that were going to become converts didn't get baptized until later in their lives, especially those that were warriors. And they would wait and get baptized late in life, because they thought, well, once I get baptized, I better not sin ever again. It was wrong thinking on their part. You know, yeah. The baptism frees us from original sin, but then we have the sacrament of confession that not only brings us God's mercy, but also that super abundant grace. You know, in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, which is probably, maybe, what if that's a 1.6 thing? I don't know. But the Ark of the Covenant had the law of Moses inside of it, but above it were the two angels with their wings spread forward, and that's called the mercy seat. So yep. God's mercy is above
his judgment. I've heard it said that God's mercy, justice, the song of justice is played out in the key of mercy. We got one more minute. Give us one more math. You got it.
Yeah.
One minute.
Yeah. The only other thing I would like to invite people to consider is look into fractals, which are really beautiful shapes. And you don't need to understand the math behind them. You can just go in and just look at them and just see how awesome and beautiful they are. So just get on your internet search engine and just search for the word fractals.
How do you spell it?
F-R-A-C-T-A-L-S.
Okay. All right, that's everybody's homework assignment. I want you guys to do that.
But
comment. When you're watching on YouTube, you can comment below.
Yeah, they really are beautiful. And again, there's not any practical application necessarily, but wow, it's beautiful. It's kind of like looking up at the stars, right?
Yes.
You know, you just look up at the stars, or you look out at the ocean waves crashing, right? And, you know, sure, ocean waves crashing, you can surf. I know you have a little bit of experience in that, right? But let's suppose you're not going to surf. Is it cool just to look out at
beautiful.
The ocean waves and the stars, right?
Well,
not for any practical application, but just for beauty and beauty's sake.
It goes back to that basic, the elements of man, the upward yearning for justice and for truth, for love. But there's this element of mankind that has a desire for beauty.
All the transcendentals, right?
Yeah.
Justice, beauty, love, truth, goodness, home, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, a little bit of Father Robert Spitzer mingled in there with our conversation. I'm sure you love him.
Yes.
We're talking with Brad Joly. Thank you for joining us. Everybody, that's your math assignment for the week. You've gone to your math class, and now you can go back to being normal people. Thank you, Brad, for joining us. Until next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
Thanks for listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Find more manly conversation at the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel. Subscribe and ring the bell.